Lakers Carpool is brought to you by Hook Products USA. Truck lovers, tow hook covers finally are here. Introducing Tokes, a first-of-its-kind tow hook cover that is a great way to personalize your truck's factory tow hooks. Tokes are made in the USA out of high-grade silicone rubber that clasps right over your truck's factory tow hooks so it installs in seconds and no tools are needed. With colors red, white, blue, pink, and amber, and costing just $34.95 per pair, Tokes are a unique and affordable way to customize your truck. Go to hookproductsusa.com and head over to the compatibility tool to make sure that Tokes will fit over your truck's tow hooks. After that, checkout is super easy and your truck will be rocking its Tokes in no time. Again, that's hookproductsusa.com for Tokes, the original tow hook cover. James Brooks, I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. Man, it has been a minute since my last episode. My last episode was like early December. Lakers hadn't even won the in-season tournament yet, and it has been quite a road. Since my last episode, the Lakers won the in-season tournament. They beat the Pacers in the in-season tournament championship game, a game that didn't count towards the Lakers' record, but they won the game. If you're a Lakers fan, if you're listening to this, you're a Lakers fan, so you probably already know that. This is not new news for you, but they won that game 123-109. The Lakers absolutely dominated the in-season tournament between going undefeated in pool play, going undefeated, obviously, in like the playoff or the knockout rounds of the in-season tournament. They blew out the Pelicans 133-89 to make it to the championship game before blowing out the Pacers 123-109. So that was the last time I was happy as a Lakers fan. Was on December 19th, because since then the Lakers have gone a abysmal 8-14 since the in-season tournament, with losses to teams like the Spurs, to teams like the Bulls, to teams like the Pelicans. I mean, the Pelicans are decent right now. They've lost to the Grizzlies in that time span. They've lost to the Jazz in that time span. And they've lost to the Nets in that time span. All of these teams are not very good teams, at least not compared to a team like the Lakers, who are trying to be a finals contender this season. And the saddest thing about all of this with the Lakers is that Anthony Davis and LeBron James have been mostly healthy. I saw a post, I think yesterday, that Anthony Davis, of all stars since like last season, has played the most games. You know, he's been the healthiest he's ever been, probably from the span of last season to this season. LeBron James has only missed a few games. He missed the Lakers' last game against the Clippers with an ankle injury, but he's been mostly available, which has been impressive considering, you know, his age and all that stuff. So that's frightening that the Lakers' two best players have been playing the most games that they've played together probably since they started playing together in the 2019-2020 season. And they are looking at a record that is pretty similar to what we saw last season before trading Russell Westbrook for D'Angelo Russell and Jared Vanderbilt and all those guys. The Lakers are currently sitting at 22-23, one game below 500 in the ninth seed in the Western Conference. That puts them, as of right now, a game and a half back from Dallas, two and a half games back from Dallas, three and a half games back from Sacramento, and just the eighth and seventh seed, four and a half games back from New Orleans in the sixth seed. So if the Lakers want to, you know, get out of the play-in tournament this season, I think the Lakers been in the play-in season tournament. They've been in the play-in tournament for every season, I think, for the last few seasons. I know they missed the playoffs 2 years ago, but before that, I think they were in the play-in tournament. They were in the play-in tournament last season. And as of right now, if things don't get any better, we're looking at a play-in tournament appearance again. And as of right now, where we sit in the season, we're not close to getting out of it necessarily. You know, making up four and a half games to either Phoenix or New Orleans, that's tough. You know, right now, OKC and Minnesota are tied for first in the conference at 31-13. Denver is a half game back at 31-14. Clippers are two games back at 28-14. You know, so the top four spots are like not necessarily, they're not locked up by any means, but those seem pretty out of reach for the Lakers unless like something crazy happens. At this point, we'd be lucky if we can make a run and push and get out of the play-in tournament and hit the sixth seed or the fifth seed. It's possible, you know, players get hurt, teams go in on losing streaks and stuff. It's possible, but it's not looking good. So that brings in all the trade rumors, right? You know, there's been trade rumors since the season practically began, right? Like, will the Lakers trade D'Angelo Russell? There were a ton of trade rumors about Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso, maybe a package including Andre Drummond. The most recent rumors have been maybe DeJounte Murray from, I think he's on Atlanta, Trae Young off Atlanta, maybe Donovan Mitchell from Cleveland. There's been plenty of rumors going around the Lakers, you know, like what do they need to get over the hump to make them bona fide finals contenders? Because right now, sitting in the ninth seed in the Western Conference, a game below 500, they just aren't that, right? And I know the Lakers were in a similar position last season, right, where we were fighting to get over 500. We finally got a few games over 500, finished in the seventh seed in the Western Conference, had a home play-in tournament game that we barely won against Minnesota, made the playoffs, and then made a run, right? So just because we make the play-in tournament doesn't mean that we're not finals contenders, right? Like, we were finals contenders last season, making the Western Conference finals, obviously getting swept, but those games were close, right, against Denver. I mean, the series, obviously, when you look at being swept, the series doesn't look close. But if you look individually at every game, there's only one game where the Lakers were totally out of that game for most of the game. Most games, you know, the Lakers either had to lead at one point and Denver made a run, or it was a close game. The Lakers were fighting to come back and they just couldn't get it done. I think the Lakers, even though they were the seventh seed last season, they were still finals contenders. So just because we're in the ninth seed in the Western Conference doesn't necessarily mean that we're not finals contenders. But the way that we've been playing, finals contention does not seem to be in our future. Just no defense, no defensive identity, which is something that I've complained about since Darvin Ham has been our coach. The defense thing is what kills me the most. You look at the Clippers game, the last game against the Clippers, and I mean, the Clippers hit a lot of shots, but we gave up nearly 80 points in the first half. If you're giving up nearly 80 points in the first half to any team, I don't care who they are, I don't care if they're a finals contender or not, you're not going to win that game. The Lakers played a good game overall offensively. You know, we put up, we put up like 120 points. 116. We lost 127 to 116. We were in the game late before the Clippers went on a run in the fourth quarter. Put up 116 points. The Lakers, pulling up the box score, what did we shoot? We shot just under 50% from the field, 48.9, 34.4 from three. At one point in the game, it was definitely better than that. But, the Clippers shot nearly 60% from the field at 59.1% and then 51.9% from three. I mean, that's incredible. And if teams are shooting like that against you, you're not going to win. You're likely not winning that game. Some of that hats off to the Clippers, right, for hitting their shots and doing what they need to get done. But also at the same point, how many of these shots are shots that we could have either altered by closing out better or just rotated better to take away some shots, right? Like, so many wide open three-pointers that are just hit, right? And it's like, good teams are going to hit those shots. That's what Denver did to us last season. MPJ, Jokic, Murray, they hit the big shots when they needed to, and a lot of those shots were off of, right, like offensive rebounds where we're out of position. They're off of pick and rolls where we're out of position. And some of those shots were just good shots where we actually played good defense, and they were just dagger shots or back-breaking shots where Jokic throws up a shot with 2 seconds left on the shot clock and it goes in, right? Like, some of the shots were like that. But at the end of the day, right, like, the Lakers' defense is not good. And when the Lakers are good, and this goes for any team, this isn't the Lakers, right, but it's like any team that's, when they're good, they're playing good defense, and good offense comes from good defense. Like, it's simple basketball. And that's what I loved about Frank Vogel was definitely a defensive minded coach. We had good defensive guards between, you know, like Rondo was a good defensive guard, even though he was old. Avery Bradley, Alex Caruso, playing alongside LeBron and Anthony Davis, providing the defense on the perimeter And then obviously AD can clean up around and whatnot. Even like having guys like JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, those guys are good defenders, right? They can block shots, they get challenge guys at the rim, get rebounds, all that kind of stuff. We don't have any sort of defensive identity, right? Like D'Angelo Russell, he can provide, he's been playing really well, right? Like he's been in this game against the Clippers, he had 27 points, game high 27 points, or at least Laker high. I don't think it was, it probably wasn't a game high. Let me see. Actually, it was a game high. Game high, 27 points. In the game before that against the Nets, where we lost that game, D'Lo put up 20 points. In the game before that against the Mavs, he put up 29 points. You know, so like he's lately, at least, he's been putting up points. You know, maybe these, him being in these trade rumors is keeping him playing hard and whatnot. But like, he's good offensively, but he's not nearly, you know, the level of defensive guard that someone like Avery Bradley is, or was at least, or Alex Caruso and whatever. And you can argue like, well, he doesn't provide what they did defensively, but he provides more than they did offensively. Sure, that is true. Same thing for Austin Reeves, right, who has been struggling offensively. He's been just inconsistent. He's had some good games, he's had some bad games offensively, but defensively he's either undersized out there because he's getting switched on to guys like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, or I think he is just undersized. He's undersized against those guys, getting switched onto those guys, or he's not quite quick enough to handle a true point guard. Even a true shooting guard, you know, like he's defensively, he just doesn't quite have it yet, at least. I mean, he's still young, he's still early in his career. Like, it doesn't mean that his defensive identity can't develop, but as of right now, he's not on that level of like an Alex Caruso, Avery Bradley, Rondo, one of those kind of guys that's going to like be able to step up and get a steal. Even Dennis Schroeder is another guy that we've had recently. He's been a good defender for us. You know, I've seen people arguing like, you know, Gabe Vincent was supposed to be that for us, right? He was supposed to be a go-to defender around the perimeter for us, and he's been hurt all season. He's maybe played once or twice. So that's just, I think, where our main issue is for the Lakers, right? It's like, obviously we have Anthony Davis, who arguably is the best defensive player in the NBA. There are some people that would argue that Rudy Gobert should be getting Defensive Player of the Year. I think a lot of Lakers fans would argue that Anthony Davis deserves it. I don't know. That's an argument for another day. Regardless, Anthony Davis is still one of the best defenders in the NBA. And he, you know, provides a lot of great defense for us, especially considering how bad our perimeter defense is. But, you know, these point of attack guards and whatnot that we go up against, like, we don't have anyone to step up and stop. You know, like, Max Christie has shown some good defense from the guard position and stuff, but you know, he's not really maybe in a spot where he's starting or a go-to guy. You know, we have Jared Vanderbilt, who's a really good defender as well. And the thing that's crazy is, like, I do say this, right? I say all of this, like, the Lakers defense sucks and we don't have the right guys to play defense, but you look at our in-season tournament run and our defense was impeccable. You know, there were games against the Pelicans, maybe even a game against in that championship game against the Pacers, where we gave up like no points in these quarters. I'm going to pull up really quickly one of those games and just see. Let's see, and against the Pacers, box score. No, I mean, we held them to 22 points in the third quarter, but that's not all that impressive. Pelicans, we held them to 17 points in the third quarter, 18 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's, if you're holding a team to under 20 points in a quarter, that's pretty impressive. Obviously, last season in the play-in tournament, we held the Timberwolves to 11 points in the fourth quarter, I believe. It was 9 points, 8 or 9 points before they tied the game. You know, like, we were about to win that game, and they had scored under double digits in the quarter, you know? So, but our defense, we can step up and be a good defensive team. Our entire playoff run, like, you can't make a playoff run to the Western Conference Finals without being a good or at least decent defensive team. So, right, like, which is it? Are we a bad defensive team? Are we a good defensive team? Are we just not trying because it's the regular season? What's the situation? You know, I know we have some new guys on the team between, like, I mean, Gabe Vincent, but he's not around. I mean, but most of our core guys are still there. Rui Hachimura, Jared Vanderbilt, D'Lo, Reeves, AD, LeBron. You know, like, our core players are still there. Torian Prince is new, obviously. So, you know, I don't know. Like, do we need to start Jared Vanderbilt? Does Jared Vanderbilt need to be back in the starting lineup to set a defensive tone for the game alongside Anthony Davis? You know, that's something that I don't think we've started Jared Vanderbilt in, like, whatever the starting lineup was for the Lakers in the playoffs and that playoff run. I don't think we've tried that this season. I could be wrong, but so all that to say is there's been trade rumors surrounding and swirling around the Lakers pretty much all season. And, you know, one that I've seen float around there is a trade for DeJounte Murray. He's not a true point guard, really, right? Like, he plays alongside Trae Young. He's not a true point guard, but a trade for him, you know, the question really is with the Lakers, like, do you need a true point guard when you have LeBron, right? Like, LeBron kind of runs point sometimes. And I'm trying to think, like, the team that won the championship in the bubble. You know, we had Alex Caruso, he was like more of a shooting guard. Obviously, we had Avery Bradley, but we didn't even have Avery Bradley in the bubble. Rondo, obviously, a true point guard. All that's to say is, like, we didn't really have anyone during that run that was, like, a bona fide true point guard. I mean, like, obviously Rondo was that, but he also was older and wasn't playing quite as much back then. So some people might say, like, oh, a trade for Murray for D'Lo, for instance, that takes away our one true point guard we have on the team. But do we really need that, you know? I mean, like, I think the things that Murray can provide offensively and defensively compared to what D'Lo, I mean, D'Lo provides good offense, but, like, the combination of both good offense and good defense is D'Lo provide, you know, I think Murray might be at a higher level than D'Lo on both of those fronts. It's easy to say that, obviously, and then someone like Murray or someone comes to the Lakers and there's all this pressure and maybe he doesn't perform to our standards, and that's something that we've seen quite a lot with some players that come in to the Lakers via trades. So who knows? It's easy to, like, talk about this and say, like, the Lakers need this, we need to do this, and then they come and it's not what we thought it was going to be, right? And that's part of the fun of it, obviously, part of the fun of the discourse and you know, someone like me having this podcast where we talk about it and kind of engage in all the what-ifs and the hypotheticals and stuff. So, but that's the one trade I've seen that me, when I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I could be down for that. Maybe same thing if I mean, Donovan Mitchell, I haven't really looked at what it would take to get Donovan Mitchell. I'm imagining he's close to a max contract, in which case we might, you know, that's the thing. Like, people were floating around Zach LaVine, right? It's like, I didn't like the Zach LaVine trades, right? Like, to get Zach LaVine, we have to give up Rui, probably D'Lo, maybe Reeves, you know, like some combination of those three guys plus picks and or whatever. And like, Zach LaVine can provide, you know, he can put up 40 on any given night from an offensive standpoint, but he's no better than D'Lo is from a defensive standpoint, right? So we're making our defense weaker when we already have enough offensive firepower between LeBron, Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, right? It's like, it is a matter of putting those pieces together and, like, really doing that. But it seems like that's, I mean, the last few games, at least, like, small sample size, but the last few games, you know, we've been getting 29, 27, 25 from D'Lo, LeBron, and AD, you know, but what we're not getting is defense. You know, we're not able to stop Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden in that Clippers game the other night. We're not stopping guards. Our perimeter defense sucks. We're allowing wide open three pointers. Teams shoot incredible from three against us, right? And part of that is like, people come in and they do want to just beat the Lakers. You know, the Lakers get other teams' best every night, whereas you can't say the same about the Hornets. You cannot tell me that you are getting the Clippers' best against the Hornets. You're not getting the Mavericks' best against the Hawks, right? You know, it's like, that just, I don't care. That's just not the case. And that is the case. There's a handful of teams in the league where they get other teams' best every night. I would say the Celtics are one of those teams. The Lakers are one of those teams. Maybe the Nuggets at this point, right? Like, there's a few teams, maybe the Sixers, there's a few teams, like the top teams. And the thing is with the Lakers, like, they're not even a top team right now in either conference or in their own conference. They're, you know, like we said, in the ninth seed right now. But just the organization, the aura around it, you know, you have people coming into LA where you have, you know, Selena Gomez or like Justin Bieber or the Kardashians sitting courtside, right? Of course, you know, if I was one of those teams, I'm coming in, I'm playing my best for sure against the Lakers, right? Like, you have the most eyes on, you have a ton of eyes on you. Coming in and playing well against a team like the Lakers could potentially change the trajectory of your career, maybe even. Like, maybe that's too extreme, maybe not. But, like, the Lakers are getting other teams' best every night, and the Lakers are not giving their best every night, right? So that's why we see ourselves sitting at 22 and 23 on the season. If the Lakers gave their best every night, we would be a top team in the conference. I have no doubt about that, you know. I think the in-season tournament proves that. You know, I do really think that teams were giving as close to their best as they're willing to in that in-season tournament. You know, the games were competitive. They were close. They were fun. They had a playoff atmosphere. I really do believe that. I'm not just saying that because the Lakers won it now, you know? Like, I was saying that. I've been saying that since it happened. I've been saying, go listen to my last episode about the in-season tournament, right? Like, those were competitive, good games, and the Lakers were winning those games. They were playing good defense. Their offense looked good. And I'm pretty sure they had some guys hurt at that time. I forget who, but, like, potentially Rui wasn't playing, maybe. Actually, let me see. No, Rui was playing. Reeves was coming off the bench still back then. Vanderbilt was back. So, actually, we were, at least once the knockout round started, we had gotten to, like, the healthiest we had been pretty much all season. And we went on and won the tournament. So, like, I think that proves that the Lakers definitely can hang with the best teams. You know, we beat the Suns twice. We beat them in the pool play, and then we beat them again in the first round. You know, or at least I think we did. Am I wrong about that? Yeah, we did. We beat them in the quarterfinals, then we beat the Pelicans, and then we beat the Pacers. All three of those teams are really good teams right now. I think with the Suns, they did have some injuries, right, between Bradley Beal and I'm trying to think, one of these. They didn't have Bradley Beal, but they had Booker and Durant. You know, the Pelicans had all our guys and we blew them out. You know, it's like, it's one of those things where obviously it still was early in the season and stuff. Teams are figuring themselves out and whatnot, but like, we were beating teams that are doing well in their respective conferences. So, I think that the Lakers are in a position where, like, we have the pieces that we need to be a contender, to make a run, but we just aren't putting it together offensively. And then our defense is just lacking. Like, we're just not trying. Maybe the schemes or the rotations or whatever, aren't helping, right? Like, against the Clippers, for instance, the amount of times that Austin Reeves gets switched up against James Harden or Paul George or Kawhi Leonard, you got to find a way to limit that, you know. And I don't think Darvin Ham did anything in that game to try and counteract the headhunting of Austin Reeves defensively against the Clippers' best players. So there's definitely room for improvement on all sides, right? Like, it could be the players need to step up and play harder and just play better defense, give a little more effort. And I do think that there is some schemes and rotations and adjustments that need to be made in game from the coaching staff as well. So, I think, do the Lakers make a trade? I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, it's to get a guy that really moves the needle, like Donovan Mitchell, you got to give up a lot. To get a guy like DeJounte Murray, who might move the needle just enough to really push you over the edge, you don't have to give up quite as much. At least I don't think you should have to. But does it really move the needle enough? That's one of those things where it's like, it's up in the air. You know, you bring in Donovan Mitchell, it's likely that moves the needle as long as everyone stays healthy and stuff. But what do you have to give up to bring in someone like Donovan Mitchell? And again, is it worth it in the long run and all that stuff? So I think if the Lakers keep losing, if the Lakers lose like three more games, you know, like if they go on another small losing streak, the Lakers will make a trade. They have to. But if they put things together, you know, we play pulling up the schedule. We play the Bulls tonight, Thursday night, and then we play the Warriors, the Rockets, and the Hawks. Those are all very winnable games. If we somehow lose more of those games than we win, then I see a world where a trade happens. You know, we're playing, none of those teams have a winning record. The Bulls we lost to earlier, the Warriors, they're 19-22. Yeah, the crazy thing is that they're, I don't know, like, if the ESPN matchup predictor is really valuable enough to look at, but they're predicting that the Warriors will win that game. We haven't played the Warriors yet this season, so this is our first matchup of the season. And they've had their own troubles between Draymond Green suspensions, rotation issues, younger guys like Kuminga saying stuff. And then we play the Rockets and Hawks. Again, we should win the next four games. That's the expectation, right? And then in February, to start the month in February, we play the Celtics. In Boston, I'm pretty sure, and I think Celtics have only lost one game at home, so I don't see us winning that game. We play the Knicks. I'm assuming that's in New York. Yeah, the Knicks are good. You know, like we should be able to beat a team like the Knicks, who are, let's see, where are they at in their conference? The Knicks are fifth in their conference, right? Like, we should be able to beat the fifth place team in the East. Not to say that the East is bad or anything like that. That's not at all what I'm trying to say. But, like, we should only, like, if you're a finals contender, you should only really, really struggle with, like, the top three teams in the conferences, you know? I feel like from five down, it's like those teams, they're good. And if you don't have your best, they will beat you 100%. So I'm not taking away from anything from those teams. But, like, those are games that we should be able to win, if the Lakers are serious contenders, right? But do we win that game? I wouldn't bet on it, right? And we play the Hornets, a game that we should win. We play the Nuggets again, Pelicans, you know. So the next four games, 100% should be winnable. From there, it's kind of hit and miss, right? But the Lakers, again, like I said, they need to go on some sort of run if they want to get out of the play-in tournament this season. If we keep things up how they've been, I don't see that happening. So we'll see what happens. But the expectation, if you're a Lakers fan, is that the Lakers will win the next four games. And if they don't, then hopefully something's done, right? Like, we just saw the Bucks fired their coach, and they just hired Doc Rivers. So, like, they and the Bucks are the second seed in the East, I think. Like, the Bucks are, where is it at? The Bucks are 31-13. They have the same record as the best team in the Western Conference, you know? And they fired their head coach because he lost the locker room. The defense wasn't up to par, right? But, like, their defense wasn't up to par, but they're 31-13. You know, I mean, maybe some of that is, maybe the Eastern Conference is a little bit weaker than the Western Conference, so, like, that helps a little bit. But, like, still, you know, they have high expectations. And the Lakers usually are a team with high expectations, but for some reason it feels like we're kind of letting the wave ride and hoping for the best. When the Lakers have a very small window to be finals contenders between LeBron's health and age, Anthony Davis, honestly, his health, even his age, right? He's getting older. But what's the plan here, right? Like, do we make a trade for someone that can come in like Donovan Mitchell that can kind of take the reins over from LeBron when LeBron's gone, right? Like, this team becomes AD and Donovan Mitchell's team, right? Or, like, what's the situation? Are we planning a little for the future plus now? Are we trying to stay deep with our depth that we have, right? Like, something's got to give, you know? And I think a lot of it can be done on the court. You know, I think that this team can put out more effort and we can beat good teams with good defense and good offense. You know, we did it in the playoffs last season. We've done it in the in-season tournament. Like we've seen enough to know that the team can do it. I don't think the argument should be like, this Lakers team needs to make a trade because they don't have what it takes. I think they have what it takes, and they're just not doing it. And again, that goes from both players and coach. So it's been fun being on the podcast again. It's been fun talking to Lakers basketball. It's been a minute. I've had a lot of thoughts piling up in my brain for the last almost 2 months since my last episode. So it's good to be back. It is good to be, you know, back talking Lakers basketball, kind of in the thick of the season. trade deadline coming up very soon. Obviously, like the end of the season coming up soon. We're a little more than halfway done with the season, and then playoffs, hopefully for the Lakers, and all that good stuff. So we will be back. I will be back. I will try my best to, being a parent with a 1-year-old at home and stuff, it can be hard to be consistent with this, but I will try and be back as regularly as possible. Maybe every Wednesday or Thursday, and we'll see what works out. But it has been a good time. Thank you all for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!